metaphor we want to use in looking at the next part of our exploration map, our unique design. Remember how in the foundational values episode we talked about 2 trillion galaxies? Well, astronomers estimate that there's over 700 sextillion stars in all of those galaxies. That's 7 followed by 23 zeros. Okay, we can all admit that's a big number. But now look at your body. Just you, not everybody else. Each person's body is made up of over 7 octillion atoms. That's 7 followed by 27 zeros. Each one of us contains 10,000 times more atoms than the universe contains stars. We are all little universes. With all those atoms in us, it's no wonder that no two of us are exactly alike. Just like these grains of sand, we are each very much unique individuals. The official name is the Cape Fear Regional Jetport. Everything lands here, from small single-engine planes to large corporate planes and jets. You can even find biplanes and helicopters. We're moving into a discussion of our unique design in the Life Calling model, and we're getting ready to look at the first element in that component, strengths. I want to illustrate this by looking at the power of wind. No matter what type of aircraft they are flying, pilots have to give special attention to wind when they take off and land. The windsock here at the Oak Island Airport lets pilots know which way the wind is blowing. If the sock is fully extended in the wind, the pilot will know that the wind speed is greater than 15 knots. This plane coming down the runway is taking off into the wind. That's because taking off into a headwind is far safer than taking off or landing in a tailwind. But notice this plane landing is also landing into a headwind for the same reason. It's safer to land into the wind than with the wind. But now let's apply what we learned from airplanes to sailboats. As much as a pilot like myself loves airplanes, there are a whole lot more boats on Oak Island than there are planes. There is one way humans have used to harness the power of the wind throughout almost all their history. And that is by using sails to capture the wind and propel their boats forward. We have records of this going back over 5,000 years. Let's look at the way wind and sails work together and see if we can use this to understand how to effectively use our strengths in pursuit of a life purpose. For a good share of history, sailing used square sails. This was all based on a simple understanding of the wind as a force moving in a straight line that would push against your sails and move your ship forward. The bigger your sails and the more you had of them, the larger your boat could be. Your maximum speed, theoretically, could be the speed of the wind. But of course, you would never reach that because of the frictional drag of the water on your boat. This is the way we have looked at strengths throughout much of history. Society dictates what's supposed to be the correct path, and then we're all expected to take that path. And as we travel that path, we're supposed to discover our weaknesses, then multiply our efforts, that's the adding on of more sails, to overcome these weaknesses. But in modern times, sailing has changed as the laws of physics have been better understood. You will notice these sailboats do not have the square sails of the tall ship. They are triangular in shape, and they behave much more like the wings on those airplanes that we saw at the beginning of this segment. Airplanes don't fly because the wind blows on the bottom of the wing, forcing it up. It's the air flowing over the top of the curved wing that lifts it up. Let me illustrate this with a piece of paper. The paper is hanging down on a curve like the curve on a wing. When I blow over it, it doesn't force the paper down. Instead, it lifts it up because of the way the air is flowing over that curve. It draws the paper, or a wing, up into the air. That's the way it is with our life calling. Our unique design does not force us down a path. Instead, it lifts us up and draws us along a path. Now, just think of a sail on a boat as a wing on a vertical axis rather than a horizontal axis. Wind will move around the curved sail and draw it forward. Once again, it illustrates the drawing power of our life calling. But sails like these are not the only wing-like structures on a boat. Underneath, there's a keel, and it acts like a wing too, moving through the water. And it wants to take the boat in one direction, the sails want to take it in another direction, and the result is a third direction which the boat travels, which can be at a speed greater than the wind and almost directly into the wind. This is similar to how we can use the strengths in our lives to achieve our goals. As we recognize and understand the various strengths domains and the specific strengths we have in those domains, then we can leverage these to help us produce a greater impact as we pursue our life calling. In fact, strengths may be the best way to overcome weaknesses that we might have. Rather than spending valuable energy in trying to eliminate these weaknesses, we can leverage our strengths to marginalize and minimize those weaknesses. While we've seen that wind plays a major role in moving wings and sails, and in the same way, strengths play a major role in making us unique and moving us toward our life calling.
Summary in here of the unique design, and then when I'm done with that, I'll have one of you read the summary you have for the strengths portion. But because again, if you look at the model on the front, we've wrapped up the foundational values sphere of the diagram there, and we're going to now move into the unique design. So within unique design, there's then several smaller subsections. But before we get into the first one of those, let me just read what he has here to introduce unique design. It says, foundational values, which is what we just did, may have universal application, but they have individual expression as they are conveyed through our unique design. People are like the proverbial snowflake. No two are completely alike. Didn't that just come up with you and Dad? Didn't you not... How many knew that, like, no snowflake was alike? Didn't that happen just recently and you didn't believe it?
Yeah, I thought that was impossible.
Sorry, I mean...
There's probably two snowflakes that are awfully much alike.
Yeah, he wouldn't marry and he had this discussion and he just wouldn't believe that it was... That was true.
I mean, I've heard that said. And I'm having trouble believing that there aren't a couple of grains of sand that you and I would look identical to each other.
You'd have to check every single one.
But I believe that we all, people created by God, are unique.
That's right.
I'm just disputing the illustration.
Sure, no. It just reminded me of that as I was reading. But anyway, continuing. No two are completely alike. This distinctiveness found in each person reflects the design of the universe. In chapter one, we explore the concept that there is an intentional place for us in the universe, for each of us in the universe. We said this concept is foundational to our faith, the mindset we hold about reality. In section two, we add to this concept that not only is our place in the universe intentional, but it is also unique. Okay, so just so we don't miss that. Not only is our place in the universe intentional, but it is also unique. In other words, it is not by accident that we are here and that we are who we are meant to be. This unique design can best be observed in the distinct characteristics that combine to make us who we are, the things we deeply care about, and how all of these are shaped by what we encounter throughout life. As we search for our life calling, our unique design is the most fundamental place to look when seeking to discern the unique nature of this calling as it applies to us as individuals. In this section, we will examine the three major elements of our unique design: strengths, passion, and experiences, and discover their roles in determining our life calling. Each person has a unique set of strengths that is the key to success in life. This unique set of strengths is made even more distinct as it interacts with our unique passion. And when passion functions at its highest level, it becomes a catalyst that propels us forward to follow our calling. Finally, our strengths and passions undergo intense molding and shaping as we encounter a variety of good and bad experiences in life. The experiences we encounter will be different than anyone else's, and it is this difference combined with our unique strengths and passions that gives rise to a unique life calling for each of us. So that kind of, I mean, that lays out a very broad view of the next several sections that we'll be talking about. So you have this whole concept of unique design that no one is created the same. No one, everybody's uniquely given strengths and interests and things like that. And then we're going to get into this part about experiences. I don't want to spend too much on it because I think that'll be interesting when we get there. But it's interesting. At this point in the course, we have the students begin what they call a life map, and they basically, through a variety of different activities along with it, they kind of map their life. And part of that is they kind of highlight some positive experiences they've had and some negative experiences they've had, and then they see how that has helped to kind of shape who they are and what they're interested in and things like that. So we're not going to actually take the time to do that here. It's kind of a lengthy project that they do throughout the course, but it is interesting to think about. So, is there anybody who would be willing to read the strengths, the intro to the strengths portion?
Page 14.
Anybody? Scott, thank you.
Our strengths form the first element in our unique design. They are found in five important domains in our lives: physical strengths, emotional strengths, intellectual strengths, psychological strengths, and spiritual strengths. The major problem with our society is that it tends to place too much focus on limiting and to remediating weakness and not enough focus on identifying and developing areas of strengths in our lives. Another problem arises by society's tendency to search for strengths in only the physical and intellectual domains. As a result, many people tend to restrict their search to these areas when looking for a sense of purpose or calling. In reality, the search for a life calling needs to explore all five strengths domains. It is important for us to not only identify giftedness that we may have in our strengths domain, but we need to also adopt a positive attitude about each domain. Learn as much as we can about our gifts and talents, and then practice the skills associated with these gifts and talents to grow them into productive assets in our lives.
It's the shading of the bulb, but I actually worked last week to use the mouse. You can actually turn the mouse on and take it back and
click it
and click it. If it's turned on, it's on. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
It worked.
Is that a problem with the shading?
It's
he says the ball.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I mean, I don't think it'll interfere with it, but, okay, so these are some things that we're going to set out to do. You know, the first one, understand the nature and value of strengths in our lives. Explain why focusing on strengths is better, a better path than focusing on our weaknesses. Identify the main strength categories, and then to identify strengths within ourselves. You said if I just click?
It should, if it, yeah. Is it not reading?
Oh, it's moving over here. Sorry. Okay. So here we go. The life calling model. You've seen this now many times. And now as we get into this unique design. Life calling appears differently in each of us because our foundational values are conveyed through our unique design, and that gives us individuality as a person. This takes us back to that Psalm 139 passage, which I don't know if you remember, but in the very beginning of the course we talked about that, and it tends to be a psalm that people are familiar with, but this is where you get into this verse here about I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. How we are created, and most being knit together in our mother's womb, and then the idea of being fearfully and wonderfully made, your works are wonderful, I know that full well. And I know when Aaron was working for Loving and Caring, Psalm 139 has been a passage that's kind of been, taken on in the pro-life movement for obvious reasons. You know, you have this idea of human life being discarded in the womb, and this just speaks to that. But this obviously is something that continues beyond as we grow, and we need to be reminded of this sometime that we have uniquely been created the way that we are for a reason. And discovering that is an exciting journey to go on. All right. This is the activity that we're not doing, but they will be starting their life map here soon. I don't know if it's actually in the slides here, but I'm going to define a couple things according to how they define it. But they define strengths as our assets given to us by God. Okay, so the thing, our assets that are given to us by God. So that when it says like an assets-based approach, that's kind of what it's touching back on that. And then the passions piece, passions is defined as our driving forces that burn deeply in our hearts, and then experiences would be our encounters with events and circumstances. So again, we're back here at this strengths thing. An assets-based approach to your life that looks at your whole life and offers the greatest potential for success. I don't know if you can actually see all this, but you have, in areas of school, career, relationships, service, recreation, and what does that even say, and most other areas of your life. Now, what they get into here at the beginning is that he talks about how there's this paradigm out there, and this idea that we take this approach where all of our effort goes into taking care of our weaknesses, okay? Where we focus on our weaknesses, we focus on either eliminating them or strengthening them, but we become very weakness-oriented. Become very oriented to the things that we're not strong in and trying to build that up, or the areas that we know we haven't developed or something like that, rather than focusing in on our strengths. So we're going to talk about that to start here. The old rule, our effectiveness is determined by our limitations. We don't like that. Any thoughts? I mean, just before we even get into the flip side of that, any thoughts on that? Like, do you feel like you've seen that, or you yourself have? I don't know. Maybe you haven't really thought about it, but take a moment and think about it. In our society, have you seen this?
Can you explain it more? I'm dense.
You do look a little confused.
Our effectiveness is determined by our limitations.
How effective it can be.
You will only ever be as effective overall as you are in dealing with your weaknesses, is what this old rule says.
Oh, the old rule.
Yeah,
the old rule is that you deal with your weaknesses, and if you can deal with them, then that will make you better. But you don't end up spending a whole lot of time talking about your strengths, which is Dr. Miller's issue with it. He says that's not effective. That's not a good way to approach your unique design.
So is it like you overcome your weaknesses and you get to kind of a stable, neutral spot?
Right, exactly.
But and the other, the calling is to go beyond that. And
exactly.
God lies on your
side. That will be, yeah. You actually just described a slide that's coming up.
I'm beginning to get it.
Yeah. Just a little paragraph that he has in here that maybe explains a little further. He says, in many cases, the focus is more on the remediation of weaknesses than it is on the leveraging of strengths. That doesn't mean that there is no value in shoring up our weaknesses to a level where they will not be detrimental in our lives. That's important. He's not saying you don't still, you know, pay attention to those areas. So he's saying it's not that there's no value in that. We all want to do that. But beyond that, focusing on the areas of our weaknesses will never make us effective or successful. This is a liabilities-based perspective that really does not lead to effective outcomes. Okay, so the very first thing he does here is, as he gets into the strength chapter, is he just kind of says, like, look, that is not the approach that we're going to take. He really feels strongly, and I agree that strengths needs to be the focus. So our effectiveness is determined by our strengths. The old rule would say success comes from correcting weaknesses. And again, I just want to, because we're throwing around this word success, and I know the way that success would be defined in our culture versus how we might define it within our faith, it's quite different. So when he says success, he's not talking, you know, money. He's not talking American dream type success. He's more so saying success in the sense of learning our life calling, walking it out fully, things like that. So just so we make sure we're on the same page there. So that's the old rule. It's not about correcting our weaknesses, but rather it should be about maximizing our strengths. And to kind of capture what you were saying, Dad, so you may not be able to see all of this. So on this side you have declining, on this side you have the word thriving. And so if you got weaknesses, more so on the declining side, strengths on the thriving side. If all you do is focus on correcting your weaknesses, I think, what did you say, like neutral, Dad? You said something like neutralizing your weaknesses or something?
Like reach an even keel.
Yeah.
Not excelling.
Right.
Not failing, but kind of a neutral.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, but yeah, since he's pretty much saying what he's talking about here. He's saying that, you know, if all we do is we focus on our weaknesses and trying to neutralize them and trying to not make them kind of pull us back as much as they maybe sometimes do, it only really gets us to this place of surviving. Okay, so if you've got declining and thriving, it just really brings us to this place of surviving. The word up there is mediocrity, so that's really as far as it can take us. And what he is challenging us to do is when we move from okay to great, or we move from okay to great when we go beyond mediocrity and we follow our strengths to thriving. So until we're able to recognize our strengths and really cultivate them, we do kind of just land in that middle point. Like, I'm not going to mess up in this way. I'm going to not you know, be kind of guided by these weaknesses, but that really just lands us in the middle here.
Can you give us an example of something? I think that would help me. You know, these are all great concepts, but I'm trying to think of an example of some quality.
Suppose I want to be a quarterback and I can't throw a football.
So maybe you shouldn't spend an exorbitant amount of time trying to hone your football throwing skills.
Because that's not one of her strengths?
Right, perhaps
maybe you're
a
cheerleader. I can't throw a football upstairs.
Perhaps it would be wiser to identify the areas where you do feel like your strengths are and you're more skilled and to focus on those.
And it's not just physical strengths either.
Right.
Like, we're going to be talking about five different domains: intellectual, spiritual, psychological, emotional, physical. So there's it's multifaceted on a lot of levels. But Michael's going to say something.
I used to play the softball team for the church, and that was a lot of fun. But in the beginning, when I was in like high school, I always wanted to hit a home run. I just wanted a home run hit. And I go out in the back to the school, to the ball, and see how hard I could hit it. The best I could do is hit a line drive somewhere somebody was not, you know. But towards the end, and I really wasn't able to do a lot on the field, but I noticed that I could see the ball in the outfield. You know, sometimes you have to know whether to run up or run back, but it's coming right at you. And it seemed like I was had a knack for judging where the ball was going to land. And I could then just run over there and catch it. And that was like an unforeseen strength that I wish I would have had improved on that area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you keep the other team from scoring runs, that's just as good as a home run, you know.
So that's a unique design. I mean, he's a catcher of outfield flies rather than a batter that's going to hit a home run.
Right.
Like Bobby Carr did. When he played baseball for me.
There's a well-known story told by a British like education guru. His name is Sir Ken Robinson. And I can't remember the lady's name, but he tells a story about this young girl who was in elementary school and she would not sit still. And her teachers were like, you're gonna fail. And they told her parents, like, you need to medicate her, you need to fix her problem because she's gonna fail in school. And her parents finally realized, well, she likes to move. So they put her in a school for dance, and she thrived. And she eventually became like the director of the London Ballet, and she won a whole bunch of Tonys for Oscar stuff, or for Broadway stuff. And she became this world-class, multi-millionaire choreographer, because dancing was her strength. But if they had kept her in the classroom and said, you need to remedy your weaknesses and be a books and paper writing person, she only, at best, would have been mediocre and surviving. Now, she didn't forget that other stuff. She had to learn how to, you know, be a responsible business person and all that stuff, but she found her strength, which for her was particularly a physical strength, and that enabled her to really thrive. So that's his point. You don't forget the weaknesses. You don't ignore them and say they don't matter, because they can bite you if you let them.
Mm-hmm.
They can come back to bite you. But you need to be aware of your strengths, because then you will truly thrive. And really, I think one of his main idea with this is that when you play to your strengths, the other things can kind of ride the coattails of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing if that lady was told to sit in a math class and figure out, you know, how to balance an equation. That's not going to be very exciting. But if they could say to her, okay, you're going to be the president of a ballet company, you need to balance the budget. There she has more purpose, because it's connected to her strength, to her passion, that kind of thing. So that's really where he's getting at with this whole thing.
So the common language for that, just so we can all kind of handle on this. So when we say, well, he's just not cut out for that, we're really saying that's not his design. Or I'm not cut out for that. That's not what I'm cut out for.
Sure.
So you're trying to find out what you are cut out for.
Yeah.
You know what's pretty exciting, just to let people know, we had a major weekend with John Hobbs, and part of that weekend was with all of the public meetings, you know, the dinner and the two speaking, but he spent a lot of time with the leadership. And one of the things that we're looking at is, the way we're phrasing it is, what gives life to whoever is in leadership? Like, Timothy gets life from preaching. you know, he's really gifted to do that. So we don't want to make him, you know, something other than that. Wow, that's my sister-in-law's caregiver. That's probably serious. Anyway, and, you know, I love to be visiting people in the hospital and, you know, counseling, and so I shouldn't be, you know, trying to fix windows. But sometimes I do that, but I'm not very good at it. So I think, isn't that true? So I think that's where we're going with leadership here. We're trying to see where people are designed and where their strengths are and how they do that, rather than force them into some square hole if they're a round peg.
Right.
And that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Did you have more to that, Mary?
No, I was just going to say, it made me think of what John said to all of us about being authentic and really finding whatever gives us life and, you know, what we're made to do.
Mm-hmm.
And to just be that. I think this also, I guess this is more about, like, ourselves right now, but thinking about ourselves, but also then with other people, you know, speaking to their strengths and encouraging them.
Yeah, this carries off throughout.
Yeah,
it's not just leadership. Everybody needs to find out where they're, you know, be in the outfield rather than behind the plate or at the plate or whatever it is.
Well, and I feel like every interview that may have tons of interviews, but I feel like in every interview, there's some question of, tell us about your strengths, tell us about your weaknesses. And I don't know about you, but it's much easier to start rattling off weaknesses than strengths. And so I think sometimes we feel like maybe these areas are strengths, or sometimes we can't even identify them ourselves. And it is somebody else saying to us, no, there's a strength in you. Like, kind of empowering us and giving us a sense of confidence in those areas. So while it is, you know, we are kind of taking a look at our individual selves, never is it isolated from the corporate body, because I think that's very important. Another thought I had is, when you talk about weakness, you know, a weakness-focused approach, oftentimes what is at the root of that is comparison. Like, you talk about that student, well, she wasn't able to sit like the rest of her classmates or meet those expectations, but it's almost always coming back to some sort of root of comparison. And when you think about the whole concept of this being unique design, it's really to celebrate our uniqueness, not to try to kind of make us all fit some sort of mold. So you know, you can kind of see how it doesn't really line up with how God's created us uniquely and how to kind of break out of that concept of comparison. I love how we define strengths, because I think strengths we often think of as just, oh, these are our natural gifts. You know, these are just things that we are good at. But it's not that simple. That's part of it. And here you have strengths. They are gifts. I mean, they are areas. And, you know, Mom, you gave the example, so I'll stick with it. You know, I don't know that you would say that throwing a football is your natural gifting, right?
Oh, I can tell you something.
But
even
but for some, that might be a natural gifting. Some might be fantastic at that. But if that's all, you know, if it only ever stays there, then even that's not going to become a strength for that person, because it's the natural gifting. It's an appreciation of that. Okay, so there's an excitement and appreciation of the fact that, you know, hey, I might be kind of skilled in this area. And then there's an understanding of it. You know, a seeking to understand it, a seeking to cultivate it. And actually that touches on the next one. You can't see it there, but it's development. So strengths isn't just simply what we're naturally good at. It's what we're naturally good at, perhaps, and it's what we're willing to, you know, put some effort into developing and cultivating and allowing that to become a strength. Because there are things that people are like, oh yeah, I could do that, but they don't really want to, or they just don't really go that direction. There's other things that are much more appealing to them, and they want to put more time and effort into it.
So what happens when, I'm sorry, I'm talking so much. I'm really tracking with this. I hope the rest of you are interested in what I'm asking. If not, too bad. So what happens when you have, when you're required to do something that you're really not cut out for?
Right. Thank you. Go ahead.
That brings me to Martha and math. She's just not, you know, teaching her is, math is just not a thing. And Friday, she had a particularly unsuccessful day with Matt. But it was amazing because when we switched to history, I mean, she just comes alive. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like I have her focus. I mean, you know what it's like, your students who, it's just amazing. And now she needs to learn math though, you know, so we had a talk about this, but I was just so struck at how she just like, I don't know, it was like, you know, how flowers like turn toward the sun, and it's like history for her is just like her doing that. I mean, she just like comes alive, you know, pretty much in everything except math. So, but she has to learn it. So I talked to her about that, just, I mean, it kind of goes into what he's saying, and just how there are some things in life that we need to do,
right,
and to just be faithful to do them as well as we can. So we really talked about that. Like, I acknowledged, though, which I think was important for her, I acknowledged, I'm like, honey, I understand this is not your favorite thing to learn about and do, and that it's hard. And I said, but, you know, you also need to commit to trying your best, because this is something you do need to learn. I don't know, but it was just, the comparison was amazing to me. You know, where some of our other kids, it's just like they love it all. It's not where she's someone who has more like a weakness and a strength type of a reality. So I don't know. I don't know that that's answering it more. It's just, it's harder for her,
yeah,
you know. I don't know. It's more maybe.
Well,
choice or discipline or what it is. Yeah.
I liked how he said it in here. He said, that doesn't mean that there's no value in shoring up our weaknesses to a level where they will not be detrimental to our lives. We all want to do that. You know, you may not start speaking into Martha's life that she needs to be a math teacher.
Right.
You know, that wouldn't make as much sense for her. But she does need to know math. And you would explain the value of having math skills in the world today. I mean, I can't tell you how many students are like, why do we need to know this? Do we really need to learn this? Because I'm never going to use this. It's like every teacher's most annoying thing.
It's like Ebenezer had never done cross country before.
Yeah.
And so last year he tried it, but he didn't know the whole protocol last year. So it was a harder year because he really hadn't learned all the different steps involved in it. This year it was like that is his strength.
Yeah.
He has taken off with it. And that's one of those things that, you know, he'll run 7 miles at night just to be disciplined in it, 10 miles, whatever. And you couldn't do that if it wasn't part of your design.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I don't think you could. But this year has just really become your unique strength.
Yeah, you have to develop a love for it in order to appreciate, understand, and develop it. Yeah.
I would also point out again what Dr. Miller says, kind of connected to almost what Mary was saying, and I think my dad's question a moment ago about weaknesses. One of the problems with our culture is that we don't appreciate all of the strengths that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see this as we specifically go through, but he says our culture glorifies physical strengths. You can think of athletes or people who are physically attractive, right, like movie stars and stuff like that, and intellectual strengths. So, you know, academic achievements, that kind of stuff. But that leaves out emotional, psychological, and spiritual strengths. And there are an awful lot of people who have strengths in those areas, but our culture does not hand out awards or give you big checks or give you publicity for those things. So that's one of the realities that we face with this study is being aware of that.
Would you say, I think Mark talked about this some, you know, like in our Christian culture too, you notice this thing where there's this hyper focus on like not doing what's wrong, you know, or like, you know, is that a sin or like is, you know, so you end up like focusing then on like the bad things rather than focusing like on the strength of God in your life. I feel like it's kind of like, I think it's, you're almost saying the same thing maybe, except you're talking here about like calling, And I guess I'm thinking about like our walk in life becoming sanctified in him. If you're like, my pastor always uses this analogy, put a chair, and he'd like walk around the chair and say, I'm not going to think about this, I'm not going to, the chair being the object, I'm not going to think about it, I'm not going to think about it, and that's all you're focusing on. Mm-hmm. It's the weaknesses, the mess-ups, the probability of another mess-up, rather than focusing, taking your eyes off of that, and focusing on the strength that comes from God, the one who can fill you up to do all good things, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I think it's the same concept.
Is that where the phrase "where I am weak, he is strong" kind of fits in? Or I'm wondering how that works out, our weaknesses.
If you look here at this, it doesn't look like the slide changed too much, but the verse at the top is the addition here.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And then the next one down below, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So there is a balance to this, because as much as we want to recognize strengths in us, we can never recognize them apart from the strength of God. Right? Like that is... apart from God, we would be weak in all things, you know, and even the things, like if you look in scripture, the people that God called into service, into his service, were most oftentimes called out of a place of weakness, okay? So, you know, Moses gets called to go see Pharaoh. Well, Moses was telling the truth when he said, I don't speak well. He did not speak well, but, you know, God kind of closed that gap for him. He sent him Aaron, but he, you know, he's like, I will be with you. You know, I think you were, Dad, we talked not that long about the call narratives, you know, the people who were called, you know, Jeremiah is like, no, but I'm young. He was young, you know, a lot of these,
chief sinner, he said.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these individuals, when they were like, well, hey, I'm not really the best choice for this. They actually weren't just being humble and like, oh, I probably shouldn't be the one to do this. They actually weren't the best choice for it, you know, on paper. And so there is something, you know, kind of the flip side to this, and we really can't even begin to fully discuss this with our time. Maybe we'll pick up with this next week. But there is something kind of from the Christian perspective in our walk with God, understanding, you know, as much as we recognize our strengths, we also have to recognize that it's God's strength in us. And if it weren't for him, all we would be is just a ball of weaknesses. And really, those areas of weakness, though, allow for him to, you know, to be strong in those ways. And really, I think the resolving thing there, you have, we should always be humble in our strengths. There's no, never do we get to a point where we say, you know, we pat ourselves on the back and it's like, well, I'm just good at this. You know, so.
You know, that's the danger of focusing on the strengths.
Right.
We can become egotistical and think how, what hot shots we are.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're weak and something you do something well, you're more likely to give credit to God.
Right.
But that's right. No excuse for centering on the weaknesses.
Yeah.
We could talk about that.
Yeah, there's definitely lots that can be explored there. And how God has established a pattern of using people out of their place of weakness. And so it's exciting and interesting to think about. And then as we even begin to look at it in our own lives... you know, and Timothy did say there's five domains that we'll be looking at: physical, emotional, intellectual, psychological, and spiritual. We'll actually take a session on each one of those, and we'll have some opportunity to define it and maybe evaluate ourselves in some meaningful ways and perhaps discover some areas where we're stronger than we thought. I know I heard from my students, you kind of have students who are good at everything. You know, and they're like, oh, well, yeah, I'm kind of good at this, 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 and this. And then you have other students who are like, I don't feel like I'm good at anything. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting, you know, and I'm sure even some of us can go both ways there. But as we talk through this, I hope it'll be an encouraging thing where we might just kind of see some areas that perhaps we didn't recognize that maybe God's given us some more giftings than we thought. So.
I was just going to add, because the students have asked this question before, like, what does it mean that God using our weaknesses and people in the Bible? I would, I don't know if I want to say caution, but if we really stop and think about it, God did use people because of their strengths, but I think their strengths were in unexpected areas.
Yeah.
Like David was the youngest of his brothers. That doesn't fit the bill for being the next king of Israel. But David had a repentant heart and was a man after God's own heart. That's a strength. That's a spiritual strength that David had that Saul did not, or Saul lost and did not appreciate, right? So there were these strengths. Moses, I mean, you said about, you know, genuine humility, but Moses did have genuine humility. And I think for anyone else to have had that role that Moses had with that singular mediator between God and his people, that face-to-face relationship, a lesser person would have succumbed to, I think, great arrogance, right? But because of Moses' humility, God called him, I think, for that purpose. Paul, right? Paul had strengths. Now, he had weaknesses, right? But he was articulate. He was trained and skilled. So let's not forget also that God definitely called people and gifted them with these qualifications. But it's amazing that their weaknesses are often attached, like right there with those things. So David was a man of repentance and a soft heart, but he was also very stupid at times, right? So and succumbed to his, you know, lack of self-control. So it's just interesting. And then that brings about our dependence on God and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's great stuff.
A lot of times when God's calling that individual, they're responding from a weakness oriented way of thinking.
Yeah.
Right? Like, well, I can't because these are my weaknesses. And God's saying, no, these are your strengths. You know, and so you almost kind of see this conflict of the two approaches right here. And Timothy's right. A lot of times our greatest weaknesses can also be our greatest strengths, or can be smack right beside them. So we will explore this further. We are a little late. I see little faces peering through the kitchen window. So I think we're about to be overrun by children. So we'll just leave it there. Amen.
Very next slide.